I've got a gold nugget I'd like to share with you. I found it in the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew. These verses of scripture that I'm going to read deals with subject matter on which men and God both have an opinion. For example, Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." You have heard, Jesus said, "By them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say, that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart." And then again he says, "It has been said, whosoever putteth away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery." And then again Jesus said, "You have heard that it has been said by them of old time, You shall not swear by yourself, but shall perform unto the Lord your oath. But I say, swear not at all." You have heard, Jesus says, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." It's lesson time now. Scoot up your chair. In your Bibles, turn to the book of Amos, chapter 4, and put your finger on verse 6, and I'll get to it in a few moments. Last night I was watching the Weather Channel, and they were showing where there was extreme drought throughout America. And of course, we know it is taking place around the world, but there are places in America where there was a slight drought, they said. And then they pointed out some areas where there were extreme drought, which was so bad that it was a disaster. There are many people today who feel that these droughts are caused by man. I heard a politician say that man had caused it to rain 50 inches of water in Houston, Texas, a couple of years ago. So I said, if man can make 50 inches of rain fall upon Houston, Texas, why can't we make at least 6 inches of rain to fall onto these droughted areas? So what am I saying? We must come to the grips of natural disasters and the reality of God. God cannot be divorced from disasters. Some say that God should not even be included in the discussion of disasters, since he would have nothing to do with such evils. They say God created the world, but he is not involved in the operation of it. This logic would accept the existence and goodness of God, but distance him from anything that happens in the world that he created. I think many Christians have adopted this theory in an attempt to get God off the hook. It allows us to affirm the goodness of God in the face of terrible evils simply by saying it's not his fault. They say God created a good world, and he shouldn't be blamed if anything goes wrong. But Scripture is clear that God is actively at work in the universe. In Psalms 135, the Bible tells us, whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in the heavens and in the earth, in the sea and in all deep places. He makes lightnings for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasures. The psalmist is saying that the winds come out of the treasures of God. Would that include the winds of a hurricane? Would that include the winds of a tornado? Would these be considered things that would come out of his treasure? Jesus said in Matthew, the 5th chapter, that God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. The Bible says in Job 37 that God says to the snow, fall on the earth, and likewise to the gentle rain and to the heavy rain, and he causes it to come, whether for correction or for his land, or for his mercy. Does God use things like this as a correction, as a chastisement? Some would say, nah. Is this scripture telling me that God sends the rain, the wind, the snow, sometimes to correct us? If we're not careful, we're trying to absolve God from responsibilities for disasters, and to blame them all on the devil. But let us not forget the lesson that we learned in the book of Job. The devil can do nothing without God's permission. If Satan has to get permission from God to do what he does, then God is still in control and reigns in human affairs. People sense God's control. Have you noticed when great tragedies strike, hurricanes and tornadoes, we refer to them as acts of God? God may not have done it, but he allowed it to happen. Whether it's comfortable or not, we must discuss this issue. The Bible teaches us that God is sovereign. He reigns in the good times as well as when things are not so good. And now, I hope you still have your finger on the book of Amos, chapter 4. I'll begin reading with verse 6. This is God talking, red letter stuff, right here in the Old Testament. God said, I have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places, yet you have not return to me. God is telling them, I am the one who emptied your pantries and cleaned out your cupboards, who left you hungry and standing in the bread lines. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord God. And in verse 7, God said, I have withholden the rain from you. I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another. One piece was rained upon, and the piece where it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered into one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the palmer worm devoured them. Yet you have not returned unto me. And then in verse 10, I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Do you remember when God told his people, if you will keep my commandments and you will walk in my statutes, I will not put any of the plagues that I put on the Egyptians, I will not put them on you if you will obey me. But here he's saying, I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. I have taken away your horses. I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet you have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you, as I overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Yet you have not returned to me, saith the Lord. Prepare to meet your God. Ministers are reluctant to tell the people that God is not only a loving God, but he is a chastising God. When you are receiving chastisement from the Lord, be happy and rejoice, because you know God loves you. God chastises his children. If you've never received any chastisement from God, it's because you're not one of his children. When I read these verses in Amos, the fourth chapter, I don't see an angry God that intends to hurt his people. I see a loving heavenly Father doing what he must to draw his children to himself. God uses disasters and tragedies to accomplish his perfect will in us and through us. Many of you that are listening were brought to the Lord because of some difficult experience. Often, it is the loss of a loved one, or divorce, or the loss of employment. God uses difficulties and disasters to get the attention of those he is pursuing. I'm going to end the lesson right here, but I'll be back tomorrow with another lesson on the same subject.